let's take a trip down memory lane. It's time for Niagara County's Great History Show.
Well, good morning, everyone. Today is Wednesday, December 13th, and this is the Great Niagara County History Show. I am joined in studio with my friend Becky Pittler, who is the Executive Director of the Niagara County Historical Society. Good morning, Becky.
Good morning, Eric.
I'm so happy that you were able to take time out of your busy schedule to stop in and see us this morning, and we can have a little reminiscence about our Christmas traditions. I thought the boogie-woogie choo-choo Christmas train was kind of a appropriate way to get into the show this morning.
Get us in the mood, right?
That's right, because there's not a snowflake to be found outside, but it's a-coming. There's no question
about
that.
It's cold out there.
Oh, boy, is it cold, yes. So we're going to be doing a Christmas special this morning, of course, because it is the season. We're talking about all things Christmas and history in Niagara County. It's a wonderful thing to be talking about. If you would like to join the conversation, feel free to call us anytime at 433-1433. We would love to have your thoughts and join in with your memories. So what are we going to start out with this morning, Becky?
We're going to start out with some of our events that we have coming up at the Niagara History Center, and I'm very excited to let you know about all those things that we have happening. It's that time of year to renew your membership to the Niagara History Center, or if you're not a member, please consider joining us. We also have business memberships available, so if you're a business owner, please consider being a business member for the Niagara History Center. Our members receive our bi-monthly newsletter and enjoy unlimited free admission to all of our three sites, and we offer interesting and educational programs throughout the year, so check us out. Also, when you are out and about holiday shopping, consider our gift shops located at the Niagara History Center at 215 Niagara Street in Lockport. And that one's open Monday through Saturday from 9 to 5 p.m. And at the Erie Canal Discovery Center, we have another gift shop, and that's at 24 Church Street in Lockport. And it's open the winter hours of Friday and Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Both of our gift shops offer many books on a variety of historical subjects, places, people, and many are written by our local Niagara County authors. We also have a variety of Lockport and Erie Canal-themed items like T-shirts, keychains, soap, pins, mugs, tote bags, prints, postcards, CDs, and DVDs. We offer quite a bit of items on Erie Canal and Lockport items. And we're having a sale on some reproduction hog scraper candlesticks and hurricane lanterns. We also offer cat's meow pieces depicting local churches, the Flight of Five, and local businesses. We have some hand-dipped candles for sale, as well as beeswax candles. And we have reproduction hat pins and a selection of greeting cards. We also sell local maple syrup and honey products. And one of our newest offerings are very interesting. They're lithopane nightlights, and they are molded porcelain nightlights, which reveal a picture when lit from behind. And we have a variety of those, and they're really historical and very interesting looking. For the kids, we have a good selection of some historical toys, and we also have a large selection of minerals and gems. And for the kids at heart, we have a nice selection of old-fashioned candy at our Erie Canal Discovery Center gift shops. So check out our gift shops for your stocking stuffer and holiday present needs. Think of us when you're trying to think of something to send to a family member or friend who would like a memory item of the local area under their Christmas tree this year. Our prices are very reasonable. And remember, if you're a member, you also receive a 10% discount on all our gift shop purchases. Once again, we're still continuing our annual fund drive. We appreciate all the support from our members and the community on our annual fund drive, and we realize that everybody's household costs have increased greatly over the past year, as our operating costs have also increased. So if you could send us any monetary donations, they're even more important than ever to sustaining our collections, maintaining our 7 buildings in 3 locations, offering research and educational services, and continuing our long history of service to the community. If you want to contribute to our annual fund drive, checks can be made out to the Niagara History Center and sent to 215 Niagara Street, Lockport, New York, 14094, and just write annual fund drive on the memo line. Again, that address is 215 Niagara Street in Lockport. For any other forms of donations, you can please contact the History Center at 716-434-7433. We're also looking for some volunteers to join our Step Back in Time players. So if you've ever thought about, you want to share some background of a local celebrity or an important person in the Niagara County's historical past, the Step Back in Time players are looking for you to join their group of reenactors. We have a dedicated group of reenactors who volunteer their time to share their knowledge of some local historical figures with presentations in our local cemeteries, for community groups, senior residential communities, and area historical societies. So if you're interested in any of those volunteer opportunities, please again call the History Center at 716-434-7433. Our Step Back in Time players have a wonderful time, especially in our cemetery tours, and they're very popular with the public. Also, we're trying to add to our picture collection, our photograph collection of local businesses and pictures of any inside of local businesses you might have. They don't have to necessarily be donated to the History Center, but if you want to keep the photographs, we would appreciate if we could scan them for our collection files, so local businesses and buildings will live on in our history, even if they no longer exist as a brick-and-mortar site. If you missed attending our Winter's Eve Fest Eve event at the historic Colonel William Bond Jesse Hawley House, you have another opportunity this coming Saturday, December 16th. From 2 to 4 p.m., and that's our site located at 143 Ontario Street in Lockport. This 200-year-old home is fully decorated for the holidays, and it's a great way to get your holiday spirits up. Come out and see what wonderful treasures we have to offer at the Colonel William Bond Jesse Hawley House. Again, that's our site at 143 Ontario Street in Lockport, and it will be open for tours this Saturday, December 16th, from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. On Monday, January 15th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., we will have a children's program for 7 to 11-year-olds. Advanced reservations are required, so please call us at 716-434-7433 for more information and to reserve a spot as these fill up quickly. There is a small fee involved with this program, so please call us to find out, but the kids have a wonderful time at all of our holiday programs. There are always something different, and there's a lot of activities going on around the celebration of the specific holiday. In honor of the Bond Hawley House's 200th birthday, we're going to host a birthday bash raffle during the month of January and February. The debut of this Bond House birthday bash raffle will be on Sunday, January 28th from 2 to 4 p.m. at the historic Bond Hawley House at 143 Ontario Street. And tickets for the raffle will be available that day at the Bond Hawley House and then will be available at our 215 Niagara Street site from Monday, January 29th through February 17th until noon. And the raffle will be held on February 17th at 2 p.m. Come and check out our great raffle items and support this historic home. And we have a lot of nice gift cards. We also are going to have a signed Buffalo Bills cleat in our raffle. So you'll need to come and check us out. Again, the debut of that raffle will be on Sunday, January 28th from 2 to 4 p.m. at the historic Colonel William Bond Jesse Hawley House at 143 Ontario Street. And then the items will be on display at our 215 Niagara Street site from Monday, January 29th through February 17th, and our raffle will take place at 2 p.m. on February 17th. So come and check that out, our great raffle items. You should also watch for any upcoming announcements. We have a variety of events already planned for 2024. We have a lot of good programs coming up, and we also have a lot of some children's programs coming up and some other events. So that's our events so far for the new year and for the end of this year. And like we talked about, we're going to continue to share some of our history of some more Christmas traditions and share some memories. So please call in and share some of your Christmas traditions or Christmas memories so that we can reminisce and share the history of some of these traditions and keep them alive going forward.
All right, need a chance to catch your breath there. So, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the great Niagara County History Show here on WLVL 1340 AM, streaming worldwide at WLVL.com. I am joined in studio with Becky Pidler, who is the Executive Director of the Niagara County History Center. And we would really, truly enjoy you to call in and enjoy and share your Christmas memories with us and some of the traditions maybe that your family has passed on down through the generations. That just something special or something that might just tickle your funny bone or something maybe fun that happened or just whatever your family did that is holds a dear spot in your heart. 433-1433 is the number. 433-1433.
Yes, please call in and share some of your Christmas memories. Lots of people put wreaths out at the holiday season, and it's a very popular decoration used at Christmas time. And it's interesting to note that wreaths were originally made out of barrel hoops or crinoline cane covered in evergreens and holly. And if you don't know what crinoline cane is, that's what they used to make ladies' hoops for under their hoop skirts. So it was a great little either made of wood or made of a little metal.
It
was great to use to make wreaths. Or barrel hoops are what was surrounded a barrel when the cooper made a barrel. They took the barrel hoops and, you know, put them around the barrel to hold the barrel together. That's what they originally made wreaths out of. So, and why do we use evergreens? They're green and they bear fruit in the winter when other plants appear lifeless and bare. So they signify everlasting life. And the wreath's circular shape reminds us also of the circles of life, family, and love we have. So that's where the tradition of using wreaths at Christmas time comes from. So it's kind of got a very nice memory traditions talking about the circles of life, family, and love. What about the Yule log? Was that ever a tradition in your house? It was a tradition in a lot of people's houses, and today the tradition is more of a dessert other than a wooden log, but it goes back into an ancient tradition originating in Europe. And the Yule log was used to warm the house during the cold Christmas night. And it was ceremoniously brought to the fireplace, a big log, and it was lit with the remnants of the log from the previous year. So they would keep the remnants of the Yule log that they burned the previous year and help to start to light the new log with the remnants. This was symbolized to erase the trouble from the past and bring good fortune and protection from fire in the future. And like I said before, today the Yule log takes the form of a traditional French cake shaped like a log, and it's a perfect finish to your Christmas feast. But there was a big ceremony bringing the Yule log into the house. So you would go out, find the Yule log, and then have a kind of a little ceremony bringing the log to your fireside. What about Christmas cards? Do you still send them today? Lots of people have given up the tradition of sending Christmas cards, but some people still maintain that tradition, and they still sell Christmas cards in the stores today, but not as many as they used to sell. The first Christmas card appeared in England in 1843, so that tradition goes back pretty far. And it was generated out of a necessity, sort of. In Victorian times, it was considered impolite to not respond to all of your received holiday greetings, which were typically in the form of a long letter. So Sir Henry Cole decided that he didn't have enough time to respond with a long letter to each of his holiday greetings. So he decided to commission an artist to design the first Christmas card that he could send instead of a letter. His first order was for 1,000 cards, and when he didn't use them all, he sold them to the public, and the tradition of exchanging Christmas cards was born. Soon afterwards, the idea of exchanging Christmas cards would spread to the United States, and the first Christmas card produced in the United States was produced in 1874. So do you still carry on this tradition today? And who do you send Christmas cards to? Lots of people, in addition to sending Christmas cards, have gone back to the old tradition of sending a letter with their Christmas cards. Do you still do that today? I do send a letter to some of my family members, and I still send some Christmas cards today, but not as many as I used to in the past. When we get into the early 1900s, people even got a little shorter with the Christmas cards, and the sending of Christmas postcards became very popular. And they postcards aren't as popular today as they were like in the turn of the 1800s into the 1900s. Postcards were really popular, especially around the 1910s, 1915s, 1920s. Postcards became very popular, and they were less expensive to send as they are today than a Christmas card. So did you ever do the tradition of sending postcards? And talking about sending Christmas cards or postcards, what about postage stamps? Anybody know when the first postage stamp was created for Christmas? It comes along pretty late in time frame. The first Christmas postcard or postage stamp was not offered until 1962. So that's ways back, but not back in history as far as the postage stamps go. So that was the first time that they offered Christmas postage stamps. Do you go to the post office today to buy special stamps to mail your Christmas cards? They do offer a variety of Christmas stamps still today. So that's a tradition that's continued. And what about some earlier decorations? Fruits and nuts, cookies, edible decorations were some of the most popular early decorations. And apples were one of the most earliest of the decorations. And there's a tradition that goes way back with an apple. Tradition states that following dinner on Christmas Eve, the head of the family would slice an apple crosswise. If an image of a star was found inside, the family would have a peaceful year of good fortune and health. Then each member of the family would eat of the piece of the apple to make sure that tradition came true. Did anybody ever participate in this tradition? It goes way back. So it probably was something that families passed on down from generation to generation. But let us know if it was ever a part of your family tradition. We talked about nuts also being an early decoration. Walnuts were some of the earliest Christmas decorations, and in wealthier homes, they were often gilded with gold before being placed on the Christmas tree. So that was kind of a family event. You could get together, collect the walnuts, and then decorate them to put on your Christmas tree. So speaking of nuts, lots of people decorate with nutcrackers still today, and you still see them around. In all sizes, you see them from the tiniest nutcrackers to very large nutcrackers outside of people's homes or businesses. And they have become a traditional Christmas decoration and have been passed down through the centuries. They are usually dressed as kings or soldiers. And does anybody know the symbolism of using nutcrackers at the holiday season? It actually comes from something that you wouldn't really think about. Nutcrackers became part of the Christmas tradition they have a symbolism of, we often have a lot of nuts in our life. And what they're talking about nuts is they're talking about problems. So people have a lot of problems, which we have to crack. So the nutcrackers became a symbolism of they could crack your nuts or your problems. And it was meant to teach children that life is hard, yet very rewarding. So you have, life is hard for us. You come along with a lot of problems or nuts, and the nutcracker helps you crack those problems or nuts, and life becomes, even though it's hard, you can see the rewards in life. So that has kind of a very deep Christmas traditions associated with that. How about eggnog? Is eggnog part of your Christmas traditions? Do you splurge and buy eggnog during the holidays? And does anybody know why it's called eggnog? It takes its name from an old term for ale, which was nog. And it usually consists of eggs, milk, and spices. And it's the term for ale, which is nog, because it usually has rum in it. If you put your extra rum in it, but the egg part of it comes from, it's made of eggs, milk, and spices, and the nog part of it comes from the word for ale, which because most people add rum or another liquor to their eggnog. But it's been a long tradition, way back. It goes way back. And a lot of people do splurge on eggnog today. How about writing to Santa and giving him your gift list? That is a tradition that's carried on through family and generations. And prior to the Victorian era, gifts were given on New Year's Day, not on Christmas Day. So, and mostly to business associates to thank them for their past businesses and wishing them New Year's wishes for continued business arrangements. So the giving of Christmas presents to family and friends was established in the Victorian era. And so that's when the tradition of writing your list to Santa Claus kind of came along. In the Victorian era, you would, you know, send a note to Santa and tell him what you wanted. And it's interesting to note that in the Victorian times, gifts were often not wrapped. So they were placed directly on the tree as a decoration or under the tree unwrapped to be distributed on Christmas morning. And usually the tradition was that the father of the family distributed the gifts. So hopefully he had a good memory and remember what mother told him about who gets what gift, because he's just taking it off the tree or under the tree unwrapped and giving it to the correct person. And most of the gifts prior to like the 1950s, a lot of times were handmade. We see in the 1950s a real increase in store-bought gifts. And, you know, when we get into the 1900s, we see a lot of more traditions of wrapped gifts, Christmas wrappings. How about department store windows? Does your family have a tradition of taking an outing to downtown to see department store windows? And they go back pretty far in time, too. Of course, I have a memory of we went downtown Buffalo every year to see the department store windows and M&A's at Henger's. The M&A's store windows lasted the longest, I believe, and they were displayed in recent years in other places, some pieces from the M&A's store windows. But it was always an event to go downtown and look in the store windows and see what display they came up with, and they always had animated figures in the store windows. So did you remember going downtown? Somebody this morning told me they remembered going downtown Lockport to see the store windows when he was a small boy. And all the stores used to do a Christmas display in the windows to promote their products and to draw customers. So Christmas story windows started in department stores really early, 1858. And the first department store to have it was Macy's when they opened their store opened in New York City. Their first Christmas, they had Christmas story windows. And at first, they were just windows that had Christmas displays in them. And then they decided that this was a great idea. They attracted people to the windows. So then they started putting in, adding to the displays some of the products they sold to encourage people to come in and buy products in the store. By the mid-1880s, going to view the Christmas windows at the local department store started to become a family tradition. So that goes back well over 100 years of people going to visit the local department stores. What about Santa in the department store? Do you have a memory of going to see Santa at the local department store and having your picture taken with Santa Claus and having that proudly displayed in your home? The first department store to have Santa was Macy's again, and that was in 1862. So that goes back pretty far. They had a Santa in their store for the children to visit and sit on Santa's lap to tell them what they wanted for Christmas. So that goes back pretty far back in time that Santa was available in the stores, and you can still go visit Santa, sit on Santa's lap today, and tell him what you want for Christmas.
That's always fun, isn't it? Taking the kids to see Santa, see the looks on their face when they get the pictures taken with the big guy that just scares the baloney out of them.
Yeah, if you can get the kid to go sit on the Santa's lap.
Yeah. Who is this and why do I have to sit on his lap again? Yes.
Yep.
Fun stuff. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the History Show here on WLVL 1340 AM with the History Center's Executive Director, Becky Pittler, sharing Christmas traditions and memories. And we would certainly love to have you join in on the conversation. So give us a call at 433-1433. That's 433-1433. share some of your Christmas memories, some of your traditions, and perhaps mishaps. You never know. We talked about Thanksgiving mishaps that one time last month, and that was quite fun. So you can talk about food. You can talk about what you did as a child. You can talk about what you did with your children, the stores that you remember here in Lockport or Niagara County. Some events that may have happened that were significant around the holiday times as you were growing up or in the past. All kinds of memories that you could share here with us by calling 433-1433.
How about Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, leading Santa's sleigh? How long do you think he's been leading Santa's sleigh? And it's interesting to note that Rudolph was the child of Montgomery Ward's. They started the tradition of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer because they began his life in a coloring book giveaway by Montgomery Ward Santa during the 1939 Christmas season, and Rudolph was born. So he's been leading Santa's sleigh since 1939 with his red nose and helping Santa get to all his destinations. And from that coloring book, there were a lot of books written about Rudolph and also about stories and TV shows. So Rudolph's been leading Santa's sleigh a long time and doing a great job. How about Santa Claus? What are your memories of Santa Claus? The concept of the American Santa Claus originated with St. Nicholas, and some people still call him St. Nicholas even in America. He was sainted for being a kind and generous man, and he was born in Asia Minor thousands of years ago. In honor of St. Nicholas, December 6th became the traditional day in Europe for the exchange of Christmas gifts and the beginning of the holiday season. Dutch immigrants to the United States brought their version of St. Nicholas called Sinterklaas, and Americans unaccustomed to the Dutch pronunciation turned this into Santa Claus, and the rest is history. Prior to 1809, Santa didn't have a sleigh full of toys. He traveled on a donkey or a horse. So if you can imagine Santa coming on a donkey or a horse, and he didn't have his red outfit that we know today with the fur trim. He was pretty much dressed in like bishop's robes and a fur coat probably to travel on the donkey or the horse. And it was in 1809 that Washington Irving wrote Knickerbocker's History of New York, and he described Santa with a reindeer sleigh for the first time and changed the image of St. Nicholas from a stern bishop into a jolly St. Nick. And most of us have heard the popular story, The Night Before Christmas, but when did that originate? That goes back pretty far, too, and it was originally called An Account of a Visit of St. Nicholas, and it was written by Clement C. Moore in 1822. So it's 200 years old. And this was the book that first described the events of Christmas Eve and the visit of St. Nicholas, including the introduction of Santa and his reindeer that could fly through the sky. So Santa's reindeer have been flying through the sky for over 200 years. And Santa's reindeers were also named in this poem. And later the book became known as The Night Before Christmas. Can you name all of Santa's reindeers? Anybody want to try? We have Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donder, and Blitzen. And most people call Donder Donner, but actually his name is Donder, D-O-N-D-E-R. So all of the reindeer were named in The Night Before Christmas. So that's where Santa's reindeer's names come from. And soon later, Night Before Christmas, in the mid-1860s, Thomas Nast was the first to describe Santa as living at the North Pole. So Santa's been living at the North Pole since the mid-1860s, and described also that he had a workshop at the North Pole where toys were made, and he was wearing a suit with fur trim. So that's where Santa gets his suit with fur trim, and he starts living at the North Pole, and he has a workshop. So there's a lot of storybooks that contributed to our image of Santa Claus that we know today, with his reindeer flying through the sky, living at the North Pole with a workshop, and his outfit changed from the bishop robes to a red suit with fur trim that we know him as, we recognize Santa Claus as today. How about an Advent calendar? Did you ever count down the days before Christmas? Maybe yours had a chocolate treat for every day. They were very popular to get an Advent calendar that had chocolate treats for each day. And they still do sell Advent calendars, a variety of them today, that have little boxes. Some of them have little boxes for a little special little trinket or, like, again, the chocolate treat. Advent calendars help us count down the days in December remaining until Christmas. Their origins can be traced way back to Germany in the 19th century. And families didn't have the Advent calendars that we have today, pre-processed Advent calendars. So what they would do is they would make chalk lines or paint lines on the floor as Christmas approached. And that was the advent of the first Advent calendar. The first commercially printed calendars didn't appear until 1903, so they're a relatively new idea, new concept to have the actual commercial Advent calendars. But the tradition goes back, like, to the early 19th century, again, where people just made chalk lines on the floor as Christmas approached. And that's, the kids would, they'd have a tradition of gathering the family together and drawing a chalk line to say another day has gone by and we're getting closer to Christmas. How about a memory about your Christmas stocking? Did you ever get coal in your stocking? Were you ever a bad boy or girl and get coal in your stocking? That legend comes from one night St. Nicholas secretly dropped gold coins down a chimney to help out a poor father unable to provide for his three daughters. And the coins fell into their stockings, which were hanging by the fire to dry. Since then, Christmas stockings have been hung by the fireplace. So originally, you hung an everyday sock because the stocking tradition came from just people hanging their stockings out to dry along the fire, their everyday stockings. And because this tradition started with St. Nicholas trying to help out a poor father, people started hanging hanging stockings on their fireplace mantle. And it really became popular, Christmas stockings became popular after 1821. And like we said, at first, most children hung an everyday sock on the mantle on Christmas Eve to be filled by Santa. And what was in early stockings? Well, they were traditionally filled with nuts, candy, fruit. Sometimes you got a tin cup or a slate pencil that you could use for school. So if you got a new shiny tin cup that you could use for this year's school time, that was great. Or a slate pencil, that was to write on your chalkboard. And they were kind of expensive, and you kind of had to maintain them that they didn't break, and you had to try to make them last as long as possible. So if you got a new one in your stocking, you were really happy. As the popularity of the stocking tradition increased, factories started producing specialized stockings for this tradition. During the Great Depression, a time when many families couldn't afford to buy holiday presents, they gifted these sweet and hard-to-come-by fruits instead. So waking up on Christmas morning and finding a fresh orange in your stocking was considered a luxury. And the tradition of an orange filling the toe of your stocking goes way back. Oranges were very hard to come by and were expensive in the early years. So if you found one in your stocking, you were pretty lucky. Kids today probably wouldn't be very happy to find an orange in the toe of their stocking. They want more chocolate and trinkets and toys. They wouldn't really be happy with finding some fruit and nuts in their stocking. But that was where traditional Christmas stocking stuffers were: nuts and fruit. Like I said, tin cups, slate pencils. Especially popular or happy if you got an orange. And you did get some stick candy in your stockings. Some believe the lumps of coal story began in Holland in the 16th century. And before Christmas, children would put their clogs by the fireplace, long before stockings were used in Holland. When a child was bad, they got a lump of coal. But if they were good, they received Christmas gifts or small toys, cookies, or candies in their wooden shoes. So that's where the tradition of coal for a bad child comes in. And I know today they sell candy coal that can be used as kind of a gag gift in your stocking. So some kids get candy coal in their stockings along with good things like trinkets or candy. How about the tradition of you ever been kissed under the mistletoe? Long ago, mistletoe symbolized divine love and healing. And in Scandinavia, mistletoe represented peace to enemies and lovers alike. When hung from the ceiling or in a doorway, it signifies harmony and goodwill. The current custom of kissing under the mistletoe is based on this Scandinavian tradition. So that's where kissing under the mistletoe comes from. And I know that you talked about poinsettias on the radio the other day. And we, do you decorate with poinsettias? You talked about Dr. Joel Poinsett, the first U.S. ambassador to Mexico. He brought the plant to the United States, where it was named poinsettia. Mexican legend tells of a boy who had no gift to bring to church on Christmas Eve for the nativity. On his way to church, he heard an angel tell him to pick some dried weeds for his gifts. As he laid them beside the other gifts at the nativity, the weeds turned into the beautiful flowers, later to be known as the poinsettia. So that's where that tradition comes from. And a lot of people still decorate with poinsettias today. They're one of the most popular Christmas plants in addition to holly that we have in this country. How about the candy cane? That has several background stories behind it. And some of the stories have a religious history to the candy cane. The candy cane begins with a stick of white candy symbolizing the purity of the Christmas season. The red stripes are for the blood shed by Christ on the cross. And the candy is then formed into a J to represent the name of Jesus, or it can also represent the Good Shepherd's staff. That's one story. Its hard consistency represents the solid rock, the foundation of the church, and the promises of God. Another story surrounding the background of the candy cane is that there was a German choir master who in 1670 used stick candy in the shape of shepherd's hooks to keep fidgety children quiet during the Christmas Eve service. So that's a nice story background that he, he created this candy cane so to keep kids kind of quiet during the Christmas Eve service. And today I'm sure many parents would appreciate it. They usually bring some kind of treat to church to keep their children quiet during the Christmas Eve service. In the United States, the candy cane origins can be traced back to 1847 when a candy maker decorated his Christmas tree with sugar sticks that he bent at the top so he could easily hang them on the tree. So that's another story behind the candy cane. Originally, these candy canes were all white, and the red stripe was not added to his canes until the turn into the 20th century. So originally, he made all of his sugar sticks totally white until the beginning of the 20th century. Today, candy makers produce nearly 2 billion candy canes each year. And this week, the second week in December, is the biggest selling week for candy canes. It's kind of just an interesting trivia fact. How about have you ever traveled to New York City to see the Christmas Spectacular performed by the Radio City Music Hall Rockettes? This is a tradition that some people carry on to this day. They still perform their Christmas Spectacular every year. And this dance troupe has been kicking up its heels since 1925. At first, they were known as the Missouri Rockettes, and they didn't officially become the Rockettes until 1934. So is that a tradition that you've ever done, gone to see the Christmas Spectacular performed by the Radio City Music Hall Rockettes? And they're a wonderful dance troupe, and they still perform this beautiful Christmas Spectacular every year. And it's a tradition that a lot of people go to New York City to see the lights and to see the Rockettes. How about a Charlie Brown Christmas? When did you first watch it? Anybody know when it debuted? It's kind of more recent times. This TV special debuted on December 9th, 1965. And it's interesting to note that almost 50% of all the TVs in the United States were tuned in to watch the first episode of A Charlie Brown Christmas. And some people still carry on that tradition today and watch A Charlie Brown Christmas. It's always on the TV every year.
It wouldn't be Christmas without it.
It wouldn't be Christmas without a Charlie Brown's Christmas.
That's right.
Yeah.
Marshmallows, toast. Life is good.
Yep. And it's been around a long time, almost 60 years. So that's interesting. And I thought it was really interesting that 50% of the TVs in the nation were tuned in to the night that it debuted to watch it. So it was kind of a new kind of concept to have that, a Charlie Brown Christmas, mm-hmm. And have those like serial stories that come out every year. Now we have quite a few of them. How about gingerbread houses? Have you ever attempted to make one, or is this one of your annual traditions to create a gingerbread house? I know a lot of people say that they create one, you know, it's a special time to have their grandchildren over, and they build gingerbread houses together. And it's believed that the gingerbread house tradition started in Germany, and when the Brothers Grimm wrote Hansel and Gretel, a new holiday tradition was born, and gingerbread houses started from there. How about, is it in your annual tradition to go see a showing of the Nutcracker Ballet? That's another tradition that people still maintain today. And it first appeared, it premiered in St. Petersburg, Russia on December 18th, 1892. So the Nutcracker Ballet has been around a long time. But it was not until 1934 that it was performed outside of Russia when a performance was held in England. 10 years later, in 1944, the Nutcracker Ballet premiered in the United States. And in the 1960s, its popularity increased greatly and performances spread across America. So it hasn't been too long that it's been located all across America, but it did come to the United States in 1944. And a lot of people still go to the Nutcracker Ballet, and you can see performances of it locally. It's a Christmas tradition that a lot of people put on their annual list of things to do. And does anybody know why Christmas colors are red and green? Christmas colors actually have their roots in religion, and they've been around a long time that we use red and green for Christmas. Those are the traditional Christmas colors. Of course, today, any color goes for Christmas, but people still do a lot of stuff in red and green. The red suggests the blood of Christ, and the green suggests everlasting life. Gold's another color associated with Christmas, and that symbolizes the gifts from the three kings. So that's kind of why we have Christmas colors of red and green. How about mincemeat pie? Does it really contain meat in it? And is that one of your traditions? A lot of times through history, mincemeat pie was a traditional dessert to have for your Christmas feast. And yes, they were originally filled with meat as well as dried fruit and spices. And sometimes they were called Christmas pies. And the first ones were oval in shape, not round, to represent Jesus' manger. So that's kind of an interesting tradition that the original mincemeat pies were oval in shape, not like the round pies that we know today. So they were filled with meat, dried fruit, and spices up until the Victorian times. And when we get to the Victorian times, they decided it might be best. More people would eat mincemeat pie if the meat was left out. But they retained the three spices, cinnamon, cloves, and nutmeg, and those represent the three wise men in the Christmas story. So they have cinnamon, cloves, and nutmeg in the mincemeat pie. Tradition says we should eat one minced pie on each of the 12 days of Christmas to ensure 12 months of good luck. Refuse a mince pie and bad luck could follow. So these are just a few of our Christmas traditions, and I hope they brought back some good Christmas memories. I wish you would call in and let us know about some of your Christmas memories and things that you do for Christmas and the traditions that you hold dear, or some kind of historical traditions that were passed down from generation to generation. So many of our traditions were passed down, especially at Christmas time. The holiday season, you might have passed down ornaments for your Christmas trees, and we talked about Christmas trees last time. The family ornaments that are passed down, or if you put up a tree every year and use the same ornaments, or if you do a new Christmas design every year. You can learn more about our Christmas traditions, too, if you want to come out and see the Bond House. Again, it's going to be open this Saturday from 2 to 4 at 143 Ontario Street. And we did produce a little booklet that talks about some of the Christmas traditions that you see in each room. We try to tell you a little bit about the history of Christmas, and it's nice because it's the first brick home in Lockport and one of the first brick homes in Niagara County. It's 200 years old, and Colonel Bond is the reason why Niagara County, Lockport is the county seat for Niagara County, because he donated the land where the Niagara County courthouses sit. So come out and see some historic holiday traditions and also view it in a historic home. Like I said, it's 200 years. We're going to be celebrating its 200th birthday this year. The house was built between 1823 and 1824 by Colonel William Bond, and it's the first brick home in Lockport. It has 12 rooms, and they're all adorned for Christmas, so come out and see us. We would really be happy to see you. And you know, learn more about some holiday traditions and come and see them in person on display. We also invite you to visit our museum at 215 Niagara Street, Monday through Saturday from 9 to 5, or visit the Erie Canal Discovery Center at 24 Church Street in Lockport during its winter's hours of Friday and Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. See all the wonderful treasures and information we have to share, and come out and share some local history with us, share some information that you might have, a house you might have lived in, businesses you used to visit. We always want to hear from the people who, in their memories, because that helps us carry on the traditions of history and our, you know, to savor and to protect our history and all the historical treasures that we had in Niagara County. You can contact us at any time at 716-434-7433 for more information. And we want to thank you for having us on the Niagara History Center on the radio today. We always want to make sure that you have a historical day, and we want to wish you the best wishes for a wonderful holiday season and a happy new year, and hope that your holiday season is terrific and you can share some memories with your family and some traditions with your family and your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren, and carry on the history of Christmas in your families. That's very important, to carry on our history, and that's what we're here for, and we want to carry on the local history, our local history, and keep carrying it on through generations to come. So share some history with your family this holiday season, and come out and share some history with us if you have any memories you want to share with us. Like we said, we're still collecting pictures or photographs of local businesses. So come out and share them with us. We would appreciate it. And come out and visit us again at 215 Niagara Street. That's our main site, and we have 5 buildings there that you can come out and explore. Or visit us at 24 Church Street at the Erie Canal Discovery Center on Fridays and Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. and see what wonderful treasures we have there of local history. We have the Penny Collection, which has a lot of treasures of local history, and learn all about the Erie Canal and share some memories with us. We would really appreciate it.
All right. Boy, what a great program this morning of all these. We have 1 minute left and somebody's calling in. Well, good morning, caller. You've got about 45 seconds.
Oh, we got my name. How do we know that? Oh, no.
I think we've been derriere dialed, as it were. Well, thank you so much for coming in this morning. What a great list of traditions you have. You spoke for 45 minutes straight just about all these great, wonderful family traditions that have been passed on through the years. So, folks, again, we're going to heartily invite you to visit the History Center at 215 Niagara Street and also at 24 Church Street. And hope that you have a wonderful Christmas. And thank you so much, Becky.
Thank you, and have a historical day and a historical Christmas season.
Okay. Hope you do as well. You've been listening to The Great History Show here on WLVL 1340 AM, streaming worldwide at WLVL.com. And we'll see you all next time when Becky comes around in a month or so. And so then,